ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवतीयुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. हरे कृष्ण टू एवरी वन. थैंक यू सो मच फॉर गिविंग मी दिस ऑपर्चुनिटी. टुडेज वर्स विच विल बी टॉकिंग ऑन इज 1:5:17. दिस इज अबाउट there is no danger in path of devotional service even if we fall down. That is the topic. So let's read the synonyms first. Tvaktva, having forsaken. Swadharma, one's own occupational engagement. Charanambhujam, the lotus feet. Harer, of Hari, the Lord. Bhajan, in the course of devotional service. Apakvaha, immature. Atta, for the matter of. Patet, falls down. Tataha, from that place. Yadi, if. Yatra, whereupon. Kwa, what sort of. Va, or used sarcastically. Abhadram, unfavorable. Abhut, shall happen. Amusya, of him. Kim, nothing. Kahva, artaha, what interest. Aptaha, obtained. Abhajatam, of the non-devotee. Swadharmataha, being engaged in occupational service. Tvaktva swadharman charanam bhujam harer. Swadharman charanam bhujam harer. Bhajan apakvo tapate tato yadi. Bhajan apakvo tapate tato yadi. Yatra kva vabhadram abhut amushyakim. Vabhadram abhut amushyakim. Kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Tvaktva swadharman charanam bhujam harer. Swadharmam charanam bhujam harer. Bhajan apakvo tapate tato yadi. Apakvo tapate tato yadi. Yatrakva vabhadram abhut amushyakim. Yatrakva vabhadram abhut amushyakim. Ko varta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Tvaktva swadharman charanam bhujam harer. Bhajan apakvo tapate tato yadi. Yatra kva vabhadram abhut amushyakim. Yatra kva vabhadram abhut amushyakim. Ko varta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Ko varta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Please chant. Tvaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam hare. Bhajana pakko tapate tato yadi. Yatrakva vabhadram abhudam ushyakim. Ko varta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Tvaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam hare. Bhajana pakko tapate tato yadi. Yatrakva vabhadram abhudam ushyakim. Ko varta apto. Anyone else? Tvaktva svadharman charanam bhujam hare. Bhajana pakko tapate tato yadi. Yatrakva vabhadram abhudam ushyakim. Ko varta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Translation and purport by Sri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet, there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Purport? Do you like to read?
As far as the duties of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty-bound not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., 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 but also to the great philosophers, poets, scientists, etc., etc., etc. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender unto the service of the Lord. So, if one does so and becomes successful in discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, it is well and good. But it so happens sometimes that one surrenders himself unto the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment, and in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the histories. Bharata Maharaj was obliged to take his birth as a stag due to his intimate attachment to a stag. He thought of the stag when he died. As such, in the next birth, he became a stag, although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Similarly, Chikraketu also fell down due to his offenses at the feet of Shiva. But in spite of this, the stress is given here to surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord, even if there is a chance of falling down. Because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue in service in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamila is one of them. Ajamila, in his early life, was a devotee, but in his youth, he fell down. Still, he was saved by the Lord at the end.
Translation. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, actually, thank you so much for giving this opportunity. This is one of the most reassuring verses, which gives a lot of hope for every one of us. Let's first talk about the last point in translation. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Okay, why? Why he doesn't gain anything? Since whatever he does, like whatever, for example, if a person is like earning so much money, so much wealth, like so much gold, so many houses, so many things, can he take all this to his next birth? Can he like carry all of them in a bag and carry to this next birth along with the soul? No. You just have to leave them alone. And if you have all these things, you'll just start crying before you die. You'll not think about anything else. You'll just think like, okay, actually I'm leaving all these things. I can't enjoy this. I can't take these. So we will feel such things during the time of death. We will not feel bad like, oh, we are dying. We will feel bad that we are not able to take those things with us. So having those is giving you so much distress. Not only when you are dying, but when you are living also. Like, if you have a car, okay, you buy a new brand new car. Okay, from the day one, whenever you bought, you feel so bad. I mean, you feel like so scared. Oh, if I take it on the road, will someone hit me? Or will something happen to my car? Or will some scratch happen to my car or something like that? So whatever material things we have, we always feel like so scared about it. We always feel like, oh, I have to protect it. I have to save it. Though it is like, it doesn't give you so much pleasure in your life. It does not really give you any happiness. So the material things, whatever we have, like wealth, gold or house or car or anything, everything is temporary. They come and go with time. So, for example, like I heard a story where a man has four wives, okay? So, the man once, like, he just thinks in the morning or sometime, I don't know. So, he thinks like, what if I die? I have four wives. I want to ask them this question. Okay, he calls all those four wives and they come and then he asks, what would you do? Like, if I die, what would you guys do? How would you live? Then the wife's answer, here is the answer. First wife says, I think I will feel bad for some time. Maybe I'll come till the gate and say bye-bye to you. I mean, after he dies. So the second wife says that, okay, I'll come till the funeral. Okay, I can do that much for you. I'll come till the funeral. And the third wife says, I'll come, okay, I think I love you too much. I'll come with your next body, like, wherever you take birth, I'll be with you there. And the fourth wife says, actually, I cannot live without you. I cannot like be without you. I'm going to come with you eternally. Wherever you go, like out of this world, I'll be with you forever, permanent. So, am I talking too fast? Okay.
Go for it. Go.
Okay. So, now these four wives are classified as, the first wife is the wealth. It will just come near your gate. Like if we are like, I mean, if a person is like dead and then he is buried, all the wealth doesn't stand in around the person or something, right? It just stays at the home. It doesn't come with him. And the second wife comes till the funeral. That is all our relatives. They can come till the funeral only. And the third wife is our karma. Like whatever activities we do, they are carried to our next life. And according to that, we are given birth. I mean, we take positions. And the fourth wife, the best wife, is bhakti. It stays with us like forever and permanent. And that is the solution to go back to Godhead. And that is like our entry to Godhead, actually. So, I really like the story. Hope everyone liked it. So, Prabhupada says that this world is full of duality. Like, for example, we cannot experience good. We cannot know what is good if we don't understand bad. If something happens to us, something bad happens to us, then if something good immediately happens, then we feel like, oh, wow, that is called good. I am enjoying. So we feel like that, you know. So only when something bad happens to us, we understand what good means. And another example is like, if a father and a son, a father will understand his position as a father only if he has a son. Otherwise, he cannot understand it. So everything is like relative, based on one, the other happens. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute. So Prabhupada says that we should leave this world as soon as possible and go to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Go to Krishna. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that there are lot of duties for mankind, there are lot of occupational duties. But in Bhagavatam, there is a verse 11.5.41. If you open that, he says that if one surrenders 100%, like 100% to Krishna. Like, no doubt about it. 100% surrender. Then he can leave all his occupational duties. He can just do the devotional service. And always remember Krishna. If he is 100% surrendering. So, if you go to translation. Okay. The verse is that. Devarshi bhutapta nirnam pritranam nakinkaro nayam rinicha rajan sarvatmanaya saranam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. Anyone who has completely surrendered unto Krishna, Mukunda. Okay, I just want to mention about Mukunda name. That is another name of Krishna. Muk means liberation, leverage. And Ananda means bliss. One who relieves you from all the material sufferings and gives you transcendental bliss, transcendental pleasure, is Mukunda, Krishna. Okay, anyone who has completely surrendered unto Krishna, Mukunda, giving up all other duties, is no longer a debtor, nor is he obliged to anyone, not the demigods, not the sages, not the people in general, nor kinsmen, nor humanity, nor forefathers. So if we are like 100% surrendered to Krishna, we don't have to worry about anything. Like gopis, they are like completely surrendered to Krishna. Wherever Krishna is there, they are there. Like they always think about Krishna, like so beautifully. But we should not like artificially act, or we should not artificially do anything. Because it is like a slow process, we should always like sincerely think and sincerely do devotional service. And coming back to the verse again. So this verse really gives a lot of hope. Actually Prabhupada says that generally a devotee, a sincere devotee, will not fall down, but by small chance, in case, like due to some past activities or some weak-heartedness or anything, any things, in case he falls down, there is no loss. Like whatever devotional service, whatever percentage of devotional service he has done, that will be permanent. He doesn't like lose anything, and Krishna always remembers that. Okay, if you go to Bhagavad Gita 2.40, Krishna says to Arjuna, in this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, if a person sincerely surrenders to Krishna, Krishna, please, I completely surrender to you. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. Whatever you think is best for me, please give me. I don't want anything material. Please, I just want to chant your holy name. If we completely surrender to Krishna sincerely, Krishna will never forget that. He will always remember. And if a person in his devotional service, if he diverts from that, Krishna will get him back. He will not leave him just like that. He will always protect him. So, one more thing, what the purport in this verse says that, for example, you do like 1% of devotional service now, and then you leave for some time, and then when you come back, you start from the 2nd percent. So it's not like you again start from the first. So you, whatever you do, it's there with you forever. And so one thing which Prabhupada says that is, if for example a person falls down from like only for some time due to Maya's influence, he may fall down for some time, but he cannot give up Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is like so attractive. It's like the best thing. So he cannot give it up. But maybe for some time, he may like, okay, he may go. So he gives an example of, Prabhupada gives an example of hot sugar juice. A person cannot, he feels uncomfortable to drink that hot sugar juice because it's so hot. Okay. But he cannot leave it because it's sweet. Who would leave sweets? Anyone here? Okay. So a person who chanted Hare Krishna, it's like very difficult to leave, actually. It's like, this fall down thing is happening, but it's like so difficult to leave, you know. Because once you are sincere, once we experience the higher taste, it's like something is pulling us back. Though we feel like, okay, I'm going to leave this, I'm going to enjoy materially, but you don't feel satisfaction because you already felt some satisfaction here, and because this is higher, you cannot get satisfaction outside. You may be on an illusion that, okay, I want to enjoy, I strive hard for enjoying, but no, waste. You have to come back for sure. Actually, the reason why this happens is, answer is Krishna is all attractive. That's why. So, and Prabhupada also says that Krishna, hypnotizes his devotees, actually. So, Narada says to Krishna once, Prabhupada gives an example of Pandavas. Let's discuss a little bit about Pandavas now. Pandavas, they're Arjuna is the intimate friend of Krishna, and their mother is Kunti, wife is Draupadi. First, what happens? They are banished from their kingdom for like 12 years. So Narada says, my dear Krishna, actually, Pandavas are your devotees. That's a very nice thing. Prabhupada says like this. That's a very nice thing. But because of that, they lost their kingdom. That is the first thing. Second thing, their wife was insulted. That is the second thing. Third thing, now they are banished, or they are removed from the kingdom. Like they have to go in the jungles and all for 12 years, not one or two. So that is the third thing. So many nice things happened to them because they are your devotees. But the wonderful thing here happened is that in spite of all these things, they are still, their love towards you still increased. What hypnotism you do to them? Why is their love towards you increasing so much? So that's why Narada. Narada word means who gives you Narayan. So who is the giver of Narayan? One who gets Narada surely will get Narayan. So once we follow the instructions of Narada, surely we can achieve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Am I going too fast? Okay. One more example which I wanted to share. Actually, Ritadvaj Maharaj, when he was giving a class in Friday night program, he shared the story about his experience. He was like, when he was a new devotee, he stayed in the temple, and then he was like very enthusiastic, and he was doing Krishna consciousness and all that. And then one day he decided to leave the temple and go. And then he left. And then he went, and then after some days, he wanted to get back all his bad qualities and all that. So one day he goes to a bar. And then in the bar, he was like, his friends are also there with him. Okay, actually, I'm going to dance here. I'm going to enjoy here. I don't know. I'm not going back. Okay. So then he gets up, he stands, and then he starts dancing. You know how he dances? He dances like Swami step. Like for the pop music, he dances like this. And then he just knows that. He forgot about everything else. He got so addicted to this. Like, in his sleep also, he just does this. So, it's like, so, I mean, we think like, it's just like no power and all. I mean, not we, but generally, people outside may think like, there's no power and all. But, for sure, Krishna consciousness has so much potency in it. So, it's not easy to leave it. Yeah, they told that, I think it's time to go back to the temple now. You should just go back. It's waste of you staying here. So Krishna consciousness is like so much bliss. Like, even the easiest thing which you do, easiest thing, like honoring prasadam with the devotees, with like group of devotees, just like maybe on afternoon or evenings or something like that. It's like so much happiness. You just feel like no worries in your heart. Even like the scariest thing, like giving class, it's also so much bliss. Like so much nice. Really? Okay. Now let's talk like, what are the reasons why a devotee may fall down? Why a devotee may divert? Something like that. So, two principal reasons maybe. One is getting too much attached with materialistic people. Like, who are more thinking about materialistic things. That's one thing. Our focus may divert. And the other thing is offending devotees. Offending devotees is the greatest thing by which, I mean, Krishna will get very angry on that. So, actually, one may say that, okay, I offend devotees daily. What are you talking about? But I chant 16 rounds, I go to Mangalarti, I eat prasadam, I do kirtan, wonderful kirtan. So all these things. But then I offend daily. So what are you saying? So, but actually the results sometimes will be immediate, but sometimes the results will come slowly. Like slowly we may lose the taste for Krishna consciousness. They may not appear immediately. We will never know. Without knowing only we may feel it. You know, it's very important if we can avoid too much association, taking too much association from non-devotees and from materialistic people actually, and from offending the devotees. Okay, and if a person leaves Krishna consciousness for some time, actually the main important stress which I want to give is that he can leave Krishna consciousness only for some time. And then he surely will come back. Krishna will take care of him. He will not leave him just like that. So, it is just like example of son of a king and an orphan. Difference between son of a king and an orphan. Orphan is like a non-devotee. And son of a king is like a devotee. Who is always protected by Krishna. And also like about the karma or whatever sinful activities we do, whatever karma we get. I heard an example where the karma is compared to, you have a ball in your hand, okay? You throw the ball onto the wall. So, according to Newton's law, every action has equal and opposite reaction. So, when you throw a ball, the harder you hit the ball, the harder it bounces back, no? And hits your face. So, you throw the ball and then it comes back. But for devotees, Krishna will be standing in the middle for holding the ball. Like you throw the ball, Krishna will be holding it. And then he throws it back, like either gently, like softly, or very hardly. You know? Oh. Or very hardly. So, depending upon, like Krishna knows how you will come to Krishna, how your progress will be towards Krishna. Depending on that, he gives you chastisement. So it is not like karma. When you are a devotee, whatever you are facing, it is just a chastisement because of whatever you have done. And Krishna gives you like very little of whatever we deserve. Like the bad things. And the good things, he gives so much. But we don't deserve so much. But though we deserve so little, he gives like so much to us. And Prabhupada gave so many examples about when a devotee falls down and then he comes back about that. So examples are like Bharat Maharaj. He mentions about Bharat Maharaj. He mentions about Chitraketu, Then Ajamil, and Prabhupada also gives an example of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. So I would give the brief examples of all these stories. So first, let's talk about Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was like a great devotee of the Lord, and he renounces everything and in his early age, and then he goes to forest, and then he does devotional service, complete devotional service, and but once what happens is that he sees a baby deer drowning, so he gets the baby deer because of his compassion towards it. He gets it, and then he maintains it, like he takes care of the deer and all. But then the deer, I mean, it was like, it was taking too much of his time, you know, too much of his attention, the deer wanted. So he was like materialistic attachment. And then when he was dying, he remembered about the deer. And then in his next life, he became a deer. So, but Krishna, actually, he was like so merciful to Bharat Maharaj. What he did, he gave all his remembrance, whatever happened in his last life, he gave all his remembrance to Bharat Maharaj. So, though he was in the form of deer, he could remember everything. And then he was very cautious now. He never like got bad association or anything like that. He was very cautious. He was hanging with the devotees, the deer form. He was hanging with the devotees and all. Just like we have a cat here, which is like in the premises. So, be careful with the cat because, I mean, she knows everything, I guess. So, in his next life, he took birth as Jada Bharat, and in that life, he was like very cautious. He was like, he didn't want to talk to anyone. He was just being like dumb and dull, and then he was not talking to his family or anyone, and he was just like remembering Krishna all the time. So, then he was very cautious not to offend devotees, and be in good association, like not to take any bad association. And then he went to Godhead, happy ending. Then another example is Chitraketu. Chitraketu Maharaj was also a great devotee, but his story was a little different. He was a great devotee though, but since he was a king, he wanted a boy. He was thinking, who will take my dynasty forward? If I become old, who will take care of me? And all that. So, then he gets a benediction from Angira Muni. And the Angira Muni says that, okay, I will bless you with a boy, but the boy will give you both pleasure and distress. So, Chitraketu just ignored it, I think. So, he got a boy, and then he was happy, his wife was happy. But he had like so many other wives, which they were like very jealous or very envious of this baby. And then once they poisoned the baby, and the baby died. So Chitraketu was like, oh my God, I just had only one child, one son. And now the son is dead. What should I do? And he was lamenting so much. He was distressed so much. And then Narad Muni appears. And then he gets back the boy, and the boy suddenly comes into consciousness, and he doesn't recognize Chitraketu. Then Chitraketu says that, oh, I'm your father. Why are you not talking to me? Why are you looking me weird? So the son says, oh, which father? What father? Where did you come from? Which lifetime, father? There are like so many lifetimes. So many lifetimes happened I took so many lifetimes. What father are you talking about? So he says like that. And then Chitraketu is like, oh my God, what is this? Like, I took care of this boy for so many years, and I gave so much love to him, and he's just like saying like, he's just ignoring me so badly. So, and then Chitraketu immediately realizes that, okay, this is all waste of time. And the boy says that Krishna is the real father of everyone. So then Chitraketu realizes, okay, no. This is, whatever material attachments I have, that is not good. I should always do devotional service, and only that will give me real happiness. So, by Narada Muni's instructions, he becomes a wonderful devotee. But this is not the end. Actually, once what happens is that Chitraketu and Lord Shiva are very close friends. They are like best buddies. So once what happens is that Lord Shiva gives a class to a group of sannyasis, to a group of sadhus. But while giving class, he will have Mother Parvati on his lap. And he gives class about renunciation, actually. So, actually, Chitraketu sees this and he thinks, he laughs actually, seeing that. You are giving a class about renunciation, but you are making Parvati sit on your lap. So, what are you doing? So, actually, by this dialogue, Parvati gets very angry. Because Parvati thinks that Shiva is offended by such dialogue. And then she immediately curses Chitraketu. You will become a demon in your next life. Okay. So, and then Chitraketu, actually, Chitraketu will feel bad that he offended. But then his devotional service was not disturbed at all. In his next life, he took birth as like a demon. But still, his devotional service, he could remember everything, whatever happened. And then in his next life, he was killed by Indra. Actually, Indra was not able to kill him because he was so powerful. Because he was a devotee of Krishna, right? He was so powerful, Indra couldn't kill him. Indra was like, oh my God, I'm so tired, I can't kill you. And I can't kill you. I am tired, I need to rest now. I'm going, bye. Okay, bye, I quit. So Chitraketu was like, hey, hello, come here. No, you can't go like that. Come, kill me, I say. Kill me now, immediately, kill me. And then, because I have to go back to Godhead. And then he comes, and then finally he dies, the end of the story. And then he goes back to Godhead. And then, happy ending. See, devotee, Godhead. And would you guys like to listen more stories? Or no answer? Is it positive or negative? I would like to say one more story. I mean, a short story and a little bit longer story. So, yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Last story, which I have read, was Chitraketu was not thinking what Lord Shiva is doing. He smiled because thinking that only Lord Shiva can do that.
Talk
about renunciation, still have his wife on his lap. Lord Shiva is so potent to do that.
But Parvati, yeah, you're right. But Parvati thought that, Chitraketu offended Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva was not offended at all. Because they were buddies. So Lord Shiva was not offended. And no, they were like buddies. And they were like joking and all that. So Parvati was offended because she thought that Lord Shiva was offended. So even in a joking manner, if we should be very careful to not to offend devotees at all. And another story of Ajamil. Ajamil was like a great devotee during his young age, and he became like so much into bad association. He left his wife and everyone, and then he did so many sinful activities. And later by the end of his death. Actually, by Krishna's mercy, because he was already a devotee, he kept his son's name Narayan. So, at the time of his death, he was calling out, Narayan, Narayan. And then, because he was dying, Yamadutas immediately came. And they were like, so scary. We can't imagine how scary. So, he was like, he was like so scared, and he was like lamenting so much. He was like so in so much fear that I did so many mistakes in my life. He was like realizing so much. Whatever happened in so many years, everything was running as a flashback, like a fast forward flashback. So it was running so much, and everyone were like so, everything was like in his, displaying like a movie for him, whatever he did. So, and then, immediately they were about to take him. Yamadutas were about to take him, but immediately Vishnudutas come, and then they chase away these Yamadutas, and they say to Ajamil that you were a devotee before, so but you have done so many sinful activities. We give you some more time to realize all this and to chant the holy names. So Ajamil like immediately realizes, and then He just thinks like how many degraded activities I did, how much stupid things I did. So he goes to Holy Dham, and then he chants, and then he hears Bhagavatam. And then finally, again, conclusion is? Is anyone listening? Yeah.
Happy ending.
So, however we are, if we are just sincere, Krishna will take care of us. Like the whole, everything is taken care of by Krishna. We don't have to do anything. Just be sincere. Just surrender to Krishna. I mean, just like feel that, oh Krishna, whatever you do, please give me energy. Please give me strength to face whatever, whatever I can do, I want to do for you without being lazy, actually. One more last story. It's about Bilwamangal Thakur. He was also, which Prabhupada gives an example. He was also like very, very, very great devotee. But in he was a disciple of Somgiri. So in his next life, he gets attached to a prostitute, actually. So once what happens is that, he's so much attached to that prostitute. Like he cannot live without seeing her even one day. So one day what happens? It rains so heavily. But he wanted to see her. So, what happens? It's raining. He says that, okay, I don't care. I'm just going. And he goes. And then there will be a river. But there is no boat. He has to cross the river. So, he swims in the river. And then he again, goes near her house. It's still raining. And then because the door is locked, he climbs the house with the help of a snake, actually. And then finally he stands in front of her. And then she will be like shocked to see him. She'll be like, oh my God, look at you. You are like so dirty. I can't touch you. So he's like, oh, I came to see you. What are you like? Why are you scolding me like this? So actually, his spiritual master, Somgiri, speaks through her lips. Like he gives him instructions. He says, you did so much for me. Like, you see me every day from so many years, but even then you're not satisfied. Nothing can satisfy you. Nothing material can satisfy you. If you have done this, if you were so anxious about this for Krishna, then how wonderful devotee would you have been? How great, how happy you would have been? So, when he heard that, he immediately realized, oh, actually, why did I waste all my time? He got all his memory back and he was like, why did I waste all this time? Why am I here? What am I doing? They immediately goes to Vrindavan. And he was like, he becomes a good devotee. And then he chants the holy name. And he's like protected by Krishna. Actually, in Vrindavan, Krishna waits for him. And finally, he becomes an intimate associate of Krishna. So, in all these experiences, I feel like, however we are, whatever we do, Krishna will take care of us and Krishna will protect us. We should just be sincere in whatever we are doing and try to be like in good association and not offend the devotees. So, and one more thing is that which Prabhupada says, we should not only Krishna's service, but we should also help others to come into Krishna's service. We could do only giving prasadam, it is good. Because the effect may not be immediate, but the effect will come, will come later. You know, it is not like immediately, okay, you eat prasadam, immediately I chant. No. The effect will come slowly, you know. So, whatever, we should not hesitate to surrender ourselves to Krishna, and we should also not hesitate to ask others to surrender for Krishna, because that is the ultimate happiness which we get. Like, there are so many stories. Like, actually, Krishna House, it is like such a fortunate thing. Everyone who is staying in Krishna House are like so fortunate because they are able to practice their devotional service. They are getting so good association from devotees. And even the Krishna lunch, like millions of people ate Krishna lunch. And there are so many stories who became devotees who are like so much appreciative of Krishna lunch, you know. May not be like immediately, but after few years or maybe in their next life, they are sure to become a devotee. Once you are like, you get a taste of Krishna consciousness, that's it. That's it. You are done. No undoing. It's too late now. Actually, I have a short story of mine, how I came into Krishna consciousness. When I was doing my master's, There was one professor. Actually, I didn't know about like ISKCON and all before. So there was one professor in my college who was, I didn't know he was a devotee. He was a devotee actually. He was like very intelligent and then very, a great professor. So, when I was like, it was almost my final year, and then he was like very nice and all. So he used to think me as like a little sister, and so he used to like, he used to be very nice in the college and all. So at the end of my final year and all, he didn't preach me at all. He just started telling him like his experiences. He used to go to Mayapur. He used to go to Radh Yatra. He used to do like acts of all the pastimes and all that. He used to tell me. And then on my birthday, I think that was the first time I ate prasadam. It was my birthday cake. He got it from ISKCON, actually. It was so tasty, so tasty. It was amazing. No, I'm serious. It was amazing cake. And then I was wondering like, wow, this is so good. And then from then, like, he used to get me Mahaprasadam. He gave me Narsingh Kavach. He gave me like so many CDs of like Mayapur and all. But then after like few days, I had to move from to another city, like, for doing my job. And then I totally forgot about it. I just like forgot. But then after 3 years, I was here like after 2 years. And then in my third year, I took a course in summer. It happened that there was one devotee, Naveen Prabhu. He was staying in Krishna house at that time. And we both were in the same class. So when we were discussing the course subject, he was like, he told me like he was staying in Krishna house and all. And till then, I didn't know about Krishna house at all. I stayed like in for 1 year in Gainesville, but I didn't know about Krishna house. I just thought like it was like a family who stays and then they have deities in their front room. So something like that. And so I didn't know about it. And then when he told me like about they have morning program, they have like so many activities going on and all that, I thought immediately I should move in. And then within 10 days, I moved into Krishna house. And I felt so much attraction, you know, immediately I thought I should move in. So like I'm very thankful to my professor who gave me prasadam. Because I think like, though it was not immediate, he did not expect like I should be immediately devotee. And he didn't preach also to me, you know. So, though we are like, though we don't see the results immediately, we should like help in all of our best, practice for others. And we should not think like, okay, not everyone, only I will go back to Godhead. I am special. No, we should actually help everyone and take everyone back to Godhead. So, yeah, it's like a sick man, if he takes medicine, it's like he doesn't know how it affects him. Similarly, like if we chant or if we eat prasadam, we don't know how it affects us, but it will still affect us. But that effect will be there permanently in us. So that's what I wanted to say. The conclusion is that Hare Krishna. any comments or any simple questions? You can ask like, who is Krishna? Hare Krishna.